This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A controversial charter school law passed earlier today in the General Assembly. This law allows four municipalities outside of Charlotte to run their own charter schools. Proponents say these towns have been overlooked by the district and they need more local control. Critics are outraged. They say it accelerates the resegregation that's already taking place in North Carolina schools. And they call it the latest battleground in the war to fight school segregation in Charlotte-Mecklenburg. Liz Schlemmer is education policy reporter for WUNC, and she joins us now. Welcome back, Liz.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
All right, so what are the main points of this new law?
Well, it would rewrite the definition of a charter school to allow municipalities to run a charter school. Up to now, it's only been allowed for nonprofits or private corporations to run charter schools. And then it applies that to just four towns in suburbs of Charlotte. And it also allows those towns to give preference to students who reside in those towns to attend those schools.
So in a lot of ways, there are some fairly big surprises in here. Number one, that it only applies to these four towns outside of Charlotte. So tell us about those towns.
It's a local bill. It would apply to the towns of Matthews, Mint Hill, Huntersville, and Cornelius. They are all wealthy suburbs of Charlotte and majority white.
And that compares to Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District, which is not majority white.
It's a majority-minority school district. Now those populations are spread out across the county and there are different pockets. But overall, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools does have a majority of minority students in it.
So why does the legislature say it needs to pass this law and allow for charter schools in only these four communities? What's going on there?
Well, representatives of these districts say that their constituents are saying their schools are overcrowded and they are being neglected by Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. They say that both the traditional public schools and the existing charter schools in their districts have very long waiting lists of thousands of students and that the students who live in those areas are being forced to go to schools farther away.
So they now will have the authority to create their own charter schools in these communities. And interestingly enough, they've been given some tax authority as well, right?
Yes. So in the latest state budget, some changes were made in order to allow this bill to go forward. And it would allow local governments to levy property taxes for educational purposes. In the past, they could only do that with a referendum from voters, and this would allow town councils and county commissioners to do that of their own authority.
Now, this is fascinating in some ways because this is a legislature that has been famous for taking away local control over environment, local control over regulating business, and certainly not a legislature that is at all friendly to levying more taxes. And here they're giving taxing authority to local governments.
And it could have statewide implications. The changes to the budget bill apply to all districts across the state. So we could see counties raising their property taxes for their schools now, and also bringing that into the politics of elections for these county commissions and town councils.
Now, another interesting feature of this law is that it allows the charter schools that will be created by these municipalities, should they go forward with it, to give preferential treatment to local students, right?
Yes, for these four towns, that's true. The other sort of statewide implication for this is a local bill. It only applies to four towns. But we may see now that it has passed that other towns could push their representatives to bring up more bills for more town charters.
Yeah, and the local preference is new because in most cases, charters can't do that, right? A charter school's the way they're organized now and authorized now, as I understand it, they can't really offer preferential treatment to students who live closer to the school.
That's right. This would be a departure from that policy for charter schools.
So talk about this, because this did not even receive unanimous support among Republicans. There was some pushback, certainly Democrats and Republicans. Talk about the pushback against this bill.
So the vote today in the House, and this bill did originate in the House, so they were just agreeing with changes that were made in the Senate. The vote was 64 to 53. So, yes, there were Republicans who voted against it. There were concerns about that changes in taxation, although that's already passed in the budget, and also whether or not it makes sense for towns to be running, operating, hiring teachers, and being in the business of running schools.
Yeah, that is it, because now these localities have the authority, as you say, that already passed in the budget bill, which had already become law. And interestingly enough, that was had already been embedded in that law, the permission now to tax. But that means they're probably going to have to, and those localities are going to probably be paying more to support both charter schools and public schools and the other public schools.
Right, that is a possibility. So this bill allows these towns to start charters, and if they do, then residents of those towns could be taxed both for their public schools as well as for this town charter.
And as you say, the other objection to this bill by opponents is that it will accelerate resegregation, which is already happening in North Carolina schools. Tell us more about that objection.
Well, we know that these towns are majority white, and so if they are drawing with preferential treatment for their local residents, we can expect that they may end up with majority white schools in an otherwise very diverse county. And so there are objections that this is a path to resegregation in Charlotte-Mecklenburg.
And any possibility of a court challenge?
Some opponents held a press conference last night saying that, yes, if this bill passes, that they do intend to sue to bring this to court. And it has passed. And we should also say, because it's a local bill, the governor cannot veto it.
And the budgeting authority has already been passed and signed in the budget that's already through. So we'll see going forward whether or not the bill, now a law, survives. Another big education story this week is a new unpublished study on voucher school students in North Carolina. Tell us about this study.
So researchers from NC State and the Friday Institute set out to evaluate the Opportunity Scholarship and its impact on student test scores. The Opportunity Scholarship is a voucher for low-income students. And the question that they wanted to ask is, are students who receive this voucher doing better in math, reading, and language arts than their counterparts in public schools? And what they found were positive results, large, statistically significant, good results for these voucher students, but they say that those results are not generalizable.
Why is that?
So the sample that they had was not random, and they don't know whether or not it was representative. They had to recruit volunteer students to participate in this study. So while it showed large positive results, researchers, they're very transparent about the fact that those results come with caveats. And here we'll hear from NC State researcher Anna Galate, who was one of the primary researchers on this study.
Can you look at our results, which are large, positive across all three subjects examined, and then say, okay, you know, book closed. We know that kids getting a voucher in North Carolina are doing great. And so we just caution against jumping to that conclusion, because we can't say with confidence that this is representative of the typical voucher student's experience.
That's researcher Anna Igalite from North Carolina State University talking about the caveats for the positive results from a new study, as yet unpublished, showing positive results for voucher recipients. And I suppose we should, at this point, since we'd earlier talked about charter schools, make the distinction and talk about what a voucher is and how that's different from the charter process.
Sure. A voucher is a state-funded scholarship that allows a student to attend a private school.
And so this is now, we're taking a look. But one of the interesting things is that we talked about the a sample group, for instance, a control group. And one of the things researchers would like to be able to do is look at a voucher student who wants a voucher and can't get one and compare those with others. And it's interesting to think that this would be your control and not, say, as a charter school, anybody who's going to a non-charter school versus charter. Because here we really want to know, who is it who feels they need this voucher and didn't get one? Those are the results we're interested in. In other words, comparing those two students is really relevant in this case, and they can't do it yet.
Right. They'd like to do a good, rigorous, experimental study where you have two groups of students who are very comparable, one who received the voucher and went to a private school, and another group of students with the same characteristics who wanted a voucher and didn't get it. And that doesn't exist right now, because the majority, really nearly every eligible student who applies for the Opportunity Scholarship and is coming from a public school who's older in age does get a voucher in the end. So that perfect control group that they'd like isn't there to study.
And it sounds like that the legislation that authorizes vouchers is looking for and requires some kind of follow-up research on this. And at this moment, it doesn't quite have it yet, right?
That's true. The law that created the Opportunity Scholarship calls for a formal evaluation of the program and its impact on student outcomes. That study has not been done. These researchers say this is not that study, that it cannot show any causal effects from these vouchers. In order to do that, first of all, the students have to take the same assessment. And right now, private school students and public school students don't take the same tests. And there's no incentive in the law for voucher recipients to participate in such a study, which is why they had to recruit volunteers. And they did so with the help of public school officials to get public school students, as well as with the help of a voucher advocate. Parents for Educational Freedom in North Carolina helped them get some of those private school students, which introduces the possibility of bias there too. And
so they're still looking to do that research that would be more conclusive at this point.
Yes, they. These researchers say that they would love for the state to do that research, to fund that research, and to make it possible to have a good random representative sample and a good control group so that they can say whether or not this program is working for students or if it's not.
Liz Schlemmer, education policy reporter for WUNC. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Shopping at Goodwill used to be taboo, not anymore. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.